For this session, I'd like to move on to the next stage of metta meditation, is metta for the third person, the neutral person. And so we've dwelt on the loving kindness for the oneself and for the loved person, and we've covered some other areas as well, last week doing breath meditation. And so we'll try doing metta for a neutral person. Now this way of doing this is nothing new. We simply follow the same pattern that we've been using up until now, and developing metta for a neutral person. Exactly the same as you do it for a loved person. That is to say, by keeping the metta localized and grounded within the body, keeping the words of metta steady and even, keeping the focus on the sense of whole body awareness. And so all of those things are much the same. In fact, really the only thing that we change when we do metta for the third person is to just change the name of the person that we use. So now to choose the third person, you want to find somebody who's neither particularly liked or disliked by you. So not somebody who you feel strong feelings for one way or the other. It doesn't have to be somebody who you feel completely neutral about. It doesn't have to be someone you've got no feelings for whatsoever. But just generally speaking, somebody who you feel fairly neutral about. But it should be somebody who you are clearly acquainted with, okay? Not somebody vague in your mind. You want to make them someone who's clear in your mind, so well acquainted enough that you can use them, but not so well, not so close to you that you've developed strong feelings for them one way or another. Often it's good, for example, to choose somebody like, say, somebody you might meet coming at the monastery, somebody, one of the other visitors to the monastery, someone you maybe see now and then here, and but haven't formed a close personal relationship with, or might be somebody at a workplace, or somebody, just somebody you encounter generally in your day's activities. Remember that the counterpart of neutral feeling is delusion. Okay. So the tendency, the defilement at this stage of the metta meditation is to become disinterested, to get bored, for the energy to drop off and the mind to drift away and go into dullness and confusion. So this is the particular kind of problem which is more likely or more has more tendency to arrive at this stage of meditation. And so to counteract that, if you especially don't want to choose somebody who you feel vague about, okay, and who's not clear in your mind, so you have to know their name and you have to be clear about who they are. And also, don't choose somebody who has those kinds of qualities. Don't choose somebody who's very kind of dopey. I made this mistake when I was doing it first. I chose somebody who was at the monastery when I was at Padmanachan. It was one of the monastery workers, and he was very kind of dopey and sleepy and stuff. And I realized it was a very bad choice. So that's generalization. It's a good generalization, generally speaking, for metta meditation, is to choose somebody who's got generally, reasonably good qualities, not somebody who's, got too many defilements of one way or another. Remembering that your mind tends to take on the characteristics of whatever object that it has in it. And so choose somebody who's reasonably together and got a reasonable degree of common sense to them. And sometimes a bit hard to find, I know. You just have to keep trying. And also at this stage, because that there is that problem of losing interest, what you'll tend to find at this stage is that when you start out developing the meditation at this stage, it goes fine. There's no overtly or obviously different or difficult things in this stage compared with the second stage. So if you've built up to the second stage well and your meditation's going well, you can usually just start with the third stage, just move into it, and it flows along fine. There's not too much problem. But what tends to happen is after going along for a while, that sort of subtly and without you noticing it, that the interest in the meditation dies off, gradually fades away, and the edge of the meditation tends to fall away. The sense of rapture falls off and the clarity of mindfulness falls off. So to overcome that, you need to be proactive, because if you wait until it happens, then it's too late. So you have to, when you start this stage, be conscious that these kinds of problems may well arise. Of course, they might not arise. If your mind's well developed and your mindfulness is strong, then it won't be a problem. But these problems can tend to arise. And so to counteract that, then just apply yourself a little bit more, just remind yourself to give a little bit more oomph to your meditation. Apply yourself with a little bit more edge, being able to push a little bit more with a little bit more energy into the meditation from the start of this stage. Just a little bit, not much, just a tiny little bit more edge, just to remind yourself and to wake up and to hold that meditation object clearly. Now, what can happen at this stage, especially if you have a mind which tends to be reasonably peaceful, is that you can drop into what they call, in the Thai tradition, they call bhavanga. And we had some discussion about this some time ago, but when they use the word bhavanga, it's not necessarily the same as the technical Abhidhamma usage of it, but they use it as a term for just sort of dropping into a state which is very peaceful, but and nothing's happening, but there's no awareness or mindfulness. And Ajahn Titignano, who I learnt this metta meditation from in the early days, he called it moha samadhi. And because you don't know you're in it, and so you've lost your sense of, you've lost the sense of joy and happiness from the metta meditation, and that's really the key. Remember that metta, when it's going right, always has happiness. Okay, always has a feeling of joy and happiness to it. And if it's just equanimous feeling, then that's not proper metta. Okay, so if the metta goes away and you drop into an equanimous state of mind, it's very beguiling. Okay, it's very beguiling because it's very peaceful. And you can drop into this kind of state and you can stay there for a long time. Some people can stay there for hours. And then you come out of it at the end and like, oh, what was that? And you don't really know. And some people, of course, just fall asleep. But then for other people, it's not quite being asleep, but it's not quite being awake either. It's this kind of in-between kind of thing. And of course, this kind of in-between state can happen with any kind of meditation. But it's not. But if it happens in metta, it doesn't happen to everyone. But if it happens, then it's likely to happen at this particular stage in the practice. So one thing to be aware is just if you know that, then you can see for yourself if your mind tends to go into that kind of state, and to clearly recognize and acknowledge for yourself that it is an unwholesome state of mind. Okay. It's different from the wholesome equanimity that you develop in, say, what we call the Jipeng Glang, or the mindful awareness practice we did at the start of meditation. It's different from the wholesome equanimity that you develop with the first stages of breath meditation, okay, before you give rise to the feeling of joy with the breath. So it's different from those things. This is the equanimity of unknowing, right? And so it can be very tranquil. Okay, and because of the tranquility, it's attractive. But learn and let yourself know very clearly that this is a very subtle kind of mara, which is taking you away from your meditation. Okay, so one of the techniques or special techniques that Ajahn Mahachachai teaches specifically at this stage of meditation in order to address this particular problem is to develop the four Iddhipadas. Okay? So, the four Iddhipadas, of course, being chanda or enthusiasm, desire, the wish, the wholesome wish to accomplish your meditation. Virya is the energy or the perseverance, the steadfast striving that's just not going to give up, okay, the sense of resolution and persistence in the meditation. Citta is the awareness, okay, so this is the sense of awareness and the sense of integrated consciousness, the sense that you are just there as one, knowing and being aware. And so this is like, in this particular kind of context, this is like a power that you can actually develop in your practice. And the last one is the power of investigation or inquiry. And so that means there's like an active sense of wanting to understand, of wanting to know. And so all of these particular mental qualities are very empowering for the mind, okay? And they lead to a lot of energy. And so they tend to overcome this tendency of like the laziness and just the mind just sort of slipping off and just going into nothingness. And so how to develop this is you do it before you start the practice, okay? So you do this, if you've developed up to the second stage, you've completed the second stage, you feel good about that and you want to do the third stage, okay? And then when you're at that point in your meditation, then you want to, when you start to sit down, okay, when you first come to sit, you do the four iddhipadas before you start the metta meditation itself. So you first start out when you're sitting by doing the practice of mindful awareness for 5 minutes or so, as we have been doing, and then you spend a few minutes just rousing up the four iddhipadas, basis of power, in your mind. And just for a couple of minutes. It doesn't have to be any big deal. But it's enough to awaken and to remind yourself that these things are there. And then you start the metta meditation as normal. Okay? And so that kind of gives you an energy charge which will carry through and help you to lift that third stage out and stop it from falling into sort of wrong equanimity. And so the way to do this is very simple, is simply to recite or remind yourself of what these qualities are. You can do that either in Pali or in English. You can memorize, there's the Pali phrase, if you like using Pali, you can memorize the phrase Chanda Samadhi Padhana Sankara Samannagatangi Dipadam, which is the stock phrase describing the iddhipadas, is the basis of psychic power consisting of enthusiasm and the samadhi which is produced by that which is endowed with the active striving. So his translation is something like that. And so you can remember these phrases and recite them to yourself if you want to just do it in English or whatever other kind of language you fancy, or Polish or whatever, then you can do that. And just remind yourself of that quality. So the first quality is like that enthusiasm. Yeah. So you remind yourself of the quality of enthusiasm, that sort of freshness, that kind of really kind of Ajahn Brahm calls zippity-doo-dah. You say really like zippity-doo-dah, yeah, I really want to do it. You know, I really want to meditate. I really want to practice the Eightfold Path. I really, really want to do this. And so remind yourself that this is actually what you want to be doing. I actually want to be here and meditating. I'm not meditating because I'm being forced to. I'm here because I want to. I'm here because I want to realize the truth. I want to make my mind peaceful. And so reminding yourself of this very wholesome aspiration to practice the Eightfold Path and overcome one's defilements. And as you just remind yourself of those qualities, it tends to awaken them within you. And you remind yourself, and then you can feel that sense of enthusiasm arising within you. And when you can feel that arising, then you move to the next one, the energy. And this is like the sense of strength that you carry within yourself to say, I'm just not going to give up. I'm just going to keep going. Whatever happens, I don't care what's going to happen. I'm just going to keep on going. And just arousing that sense of like indomitable energy within oneself that's just going to say, whatever happens, I just don't care. I'm not going to be whinging and complaining and whining to myself about what's going on. I'm just going to do it. And just reminding yourself again and again and again of that quality of energy until you can feel it in your body. You can actually feel the manifestation of that energy rousing up. And then with the mind, the citta, you translate that how you wish. Maybe awareness might be a good translation. Just translate it as awareness. And just awareness, remind yourself, this is awareness. This is what I'm here to develop. This is what I'm doing. I'm doing this practice to purify my mind and purify my awareness. And then pay attention to that quality of awareness within you as you're doing that practice, to pay attention. What is that awareness? What is it actually like now? I'm aware, and just to steady that awareness and make it clear and be conscious in yourself of what that means to be aware and to know. And then the last one, to the inquiry, yeah, to the active investigation, okay, actually using the mind. And in this particular case, you use that inquiry to reflect back on the three earlier iddhipadas and look at the connection between them. And you see that, oh, okay, because you have the enthusiasm to do it, that's what gives you the energy. Because you have the energy, that's what makes the mind bright. Yeah? Because the mind is bright, that's why I can do this inquiry. Okay? And so these things are always looking back, and look back and understand the connection between these things. So the four iddhipadas always work together. And one simile we can use for that is a simile of the somebody who's looking for something in a dark room. So normally we walk into a dark room and you stumble around and you're trying to find something there. And of course you can't find it because it's dark. So what do? You switch the light on. But how that light works, you have all these different factors. One factor is you have the voltage in the circuit. Yeah? The voltage is like a potential, a difference. Okay, so it has a potential to create work. And so that voltage, as it were, resides in the circuits, or is there in the circuit. So this is like the enthusiasm, is it's like this potential, it's like this force which is pushing and motivating one to act, but it's not actually doing anything. Then when you flick the switch, of course, then the electricity completes the circuit, the electricity moves, there's a current. And so when the current is there, then this is like the energy, is the actual movement of energy which is motivated by the potential. And then when that moves through the light bulb, then the light bulb goes on, it goes bright, yeah? And so it lights up because the energy is moving through it. So in the same way, when you're practicing meditation, when the energy is moving through the mind, it lights up. And when the mind lights up, when the light bulb lights up, then you can see what's there in the room. You can investigate and find out what you need to find out. So the same thing, when your mind lights up, you can actually see what's in there and you can understand what's happening in the mind. So this is how you can understand how these four iddhipadas all work together. So when doing this third stage of meditation, then we can practice these four iddhipadas to begin with, and then go on to develop the metta for the first three stages. So does anyone, before we go on to do some guided meditation, does anyone have any questions about this particular stage in practice?
Is it advisable, Bhaktay, to bring up the iddhipadas before any meditation, especially when you're really tired and likely to go to sleep?
Yeah, it can do. Try it out and see.
Yeah. When it doesn't affect anything negative.
Yeah, I shouldn't imagine so. The only thing that I could imagine it might affect negatively is if you are feeling kind of down and tired and things, and then you try to do it and it doesn't work, and then you can kind of get depressed about it and negative about the whole practice, which is sort of a bit counterproductive. It's a somewhat refined practice, you know, in the sense of actually just directly evoking, you know, those kinds of qualities. Of course, they can be evoked in many other ways. There's many other ways of developing them. This particular way, you're simply reminding yourself and calling them up. When your mind's, you know, if your meditation's going relatively well and your mind's, you know, reasonably mindful and so on, then you can actually do that. You actually feel it very concretely inside yourself. And so you don't have any doubt about whether the practice is working and so on. Whether that would be the case all the time, I don't know. I have to try it out and see. Okay, let's do some meditation. as we sit peacefully. Mind settling down into the body. There's nothing behind us, nothing in front. Only the now is real. Whenever thinking arises in the mind, you just note that thinking, thinking, thinking. Thinking, thinking, thinking. And then we start to develop the four Hidipadas. First one, enthusiasm. Remind yourself, enthusiasm. What's that spark? Where is that? That inspiration. That aspiration that wants to lead you to the Dhamma. Where is that? Can you look inside yourself? I look inside myself and see if I can find that. Where is that? That desire, that wish to purify the mind and to see the Dhamma. Don't let it slip away. Don't let the aspiration die. Make that foremost in your mind. Use it to lift the mind up. Bring the mind towards the truth. Next one, energy, virya. The mind that has the enthusiasm, has the wish to be purified, and then it has the energy to actually do that work. That persistence that does not give up. That resolution that does not bow to any difficulty, that does not bend. No matter what the stresses, that perseveres on and on and on until it reaches the goal. In the sense of awareness, of citta. Bringing the mind back and holding that sense of one awareness, one knowing, one consciousness. Bright and empowered with the energy. Holding that field of awareness. Clear. And awake. And finally, inquiry. Looking back at these things, seeing what each quality is like. Yes, that's what the enthusiasm was like. This is how that enthusiasm arose. This is why it arose. And this is how it matured into energy and persistence. And this is how the energy brightened and empowered the mind. So reflecting on and investigating cause and effect in these four Iddhipadas. Until you feel that sense of active interest and investigation within the mind. And moving on to the metta practice, we start with the first stage. May I be happy. May I be happy. May I be happy. Feeling the strength and the energy of the mind and those four Iddhipadas carrying over and bringing into that the gentleness and the softness of the metta practice. May I be happy. May I be happy. May I be happy. keeping the words steady, even, and allowing the feeling of metta to well up. Spread out and soak through the whole body. So you can feel the metta evenly and steadily through the whole body. Mind resting in that full body awareness, move to the second stage. May that loved one be happy. May that loved one be happy. May that loved one be happy. Simply putting their name into the words of metta, keeping the mind still, steady, and focused on the whole body. And then to the neutral person, again keeping the focus of the mind just as it is, using the name of the neutral person in the words of metta. May that neutral person be happy. May they be happy. May they be happy. Saying the words just like you did before, but maybe with just a little bit more determination, a little bit more application in how you say the word. Making sure you pay attention to the uplifting aspect of the rapture. Remembering that this neutral person is like the symbol or the example of all those other billions of people and beings who we normally don't care to spare a thought for, those who pass outside of our sphere of immediate concern. So once we can develop this metta for this neutral person, our metta is very powerful and will take in most of the beings in the world. Whenever the mind drifts away from the meditation, we just bring it back. Now coming near the end of the meditation, from the neutral person back to the loved one. May the loved one be happy. May they be happy. May they be happy. From the loved person to oneself, may I be happy. May I be happy. May I be happy. And letting the words of metta go, letting the feeling of metta fade away, mindfully allowing the mind to return to a neutral, empty, open space. And in that neutral space, just taking a minute to reflect and review about how the meditation's gone, inquiring into cause and effect. What just went on? How did I use my mind? How did my mind change? How did it respond to that new stage in the meditation? finally we can dedicate the merit of our practice. May all beings be happy. May all beings be well. May all beings rejoice in the merit that we've made through our practice. May all beings finally realize Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu. And does anyone have any comments or questions?
I have over the years gathered three neutral people. I can't help it. And their names are John, John and Abhijato. And when I do as you say, the enthusiasm just is there, enthusiastic. The energy is there being energetic. It's just... what's the third thing? The awareness is there, being aware. And the investigation, I'm not quite sure about the investigation, but when I look at the three of them, they're all doing very well. And there's nothing dull there.
Well, that's good. So if that, you know, I talked about that dullness, you know, it's just a problem for some people. If it's not a problem, then never mind. It's only just some people have that particular problem.
It's always great following your instructions. Always works really well.
Okay, finish by paying respects. Thank you.